He is the resident Western Canada and Central Canadian borough chief. Also was rated 126th. Just missed the cut in the WHL's top 125 players of all time that they just released. Former Kamloops player Ryan Rashog joins us. Shogger, how you doing?
You could have done the top 125 players on the Blazers roster in that two-year period, and I wouldn't have even been close. It's like not even in the hemisphere. I think you need to score more than five goals to have that happen.
Hey, you scored five more than I did, so hey, good for you.
Oh, whatever. No.
Now, I was in that list of players who played for the Edmonton Oilers. It includes Ron Chipperfield,
okay.
Jordan Eberle, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Smith, Pat Falloon, Grant Fuhr, Greg Hoggard, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Jared Stoll, and Ray Whitney. So, Oilers have a pretty decent representation. Ten of them.
So they should in the leagues, and they're right in their backyard.
Yeah. So, 10 former Oilers. Also, Oil King Curtis Lazar.
Yeah.
On there, and there are of course quite a few local guys from the Edmonton area on there, like Daryl Sador, of course. Mm-hmm. We could go down the list. There's quite a few more of them, but pretty good to have Dion Phaneuf, of course, out of Edmonton, made that list, and Damon.
He was a good junior player, man. Phaneuf. Oh.
Damon Lankow, Kelly Rudy, Jerome McGinley. Obviously, Ginland, no surprise he's on there. Strud's a little disappointed. He didn't make it either, but hey, what can you do? If there was top 125 off the glass and out in junior, Strud's was definitely top 10.
Top 125 shutdown defenseman of all time in the league?
He might
be in there.
Top 25, 125 sweater wearers, definitely he's in.
He had a nice, he had a good track jacket hoodie type thing on the other day at Oilers, too. He was looking sharp.
Oh, man. Well, I saw him yesterday, and I was joking with him because he came and sat beside us at the game. And he's on dinner TV, yet he doesn't have dinner. And he ate his popcorn like it was a first beer on a Friday night after a tough week of work. That thing bag was done. And yeah. Because the game wasn't overly entertaining, let's be honest. And I was more entertained in the first period by his eating antics than I was by the game.
You know what? I feel like I'm kind of living in a glass house on this one, so I'm going to be careful the size of the stone I'm willing to throw. I'll let you do most of the carving. But, yeah, he got through that opening bag pretty fast, and he was on the follow-up bag almost before the anthem was done.
It was good.
He was hangry, man. He was hungry and angry.
Well, he leaned over. He looked at me. He saw me laughing. He goes, I haven't eaten since lunch. I only had a bowl of soup. That was all he mentioned between the whole bag going down, so it was good.
Yeah, well, he's starting to talk like a normal media guy now. He can do away with the six-pack anytime now that he's media.
Yeah. The thing that stood out for me from the game was actually what was said after the game by Todd McClellan on his own accord, where he talked about the system. And he said, quote, "I don't think our game management was particularly good at all. Not understanding situation, who is tired on the ice, who isn't, where we are in a shift, where we are in a period, situational play, et cetera, et cetera." That was a very interesting thing for McClellan. And then he talked about, we can talk about systems, but that's not important until we get this stuff down first.
Yeah, and he kind of went out of his way to say that,
yes.
Didn't he? I mean, he wasn't really asked, was there anything that you really liked or anything that you didn't? Or he just sort of, it was on the tail end of an answer about something else, and then he just sort of went off into that diatribe. And so that stood out for me, too, as well. But, I mean, I think there were spots through the game where you can see exactly what he's talking about, whether it was guys making bad changes or guys staying out a little bit too long or guys taking chances they shouldn't have been taking. Those are the kind of fine details that, I think when you're on a better team that is more used to winning, they make those decisions a little better. So, yeah, it was definitely notable, and I know they dug into it today. And so that's one of those things that it's just understanding a coach's expectation. Every time there's a new head coach, every coach has kind of a different level of detail and a different list of things that are really, really important to them that they focus on. And so the players here are going to learn that with Todd McClellan, some of these finer details of decisions in game mean a ton to him, and that's what they'll have to put their focus on.
to me, the thing that stood out, without a doubt, for the game, because it wasn't a great game, let's be honest, and the older players admitted the first period they were sloppy, they weren't skating, they had to take hooking penalties because the Jets, you know, a younger, hungrier team for sure, guys who were trying to impress their coach, they came out and they were just out skating them. But Justin Schultz coming to the defense of Oscar Klefbom without being prodded, without anything else, without hesitation, I was stunned. I actually had to look twice to see who it was, and for a guy who has ripped on him for that, I will give the them credit. And if Justin and he talked openly about it afterwards, said, you know what, that's my D partner, we got to stand up for one another more, and he jokingly goes, that's not something I'm used to, I'm not necessarily even good at. He even joked about, yeah, well, you saw how quick I was on the ice, but that's not the point. What happens after you do it, it's the fact that you're willing to do it, at least in my books.
Yeah, for sure. And we saw it last night. It happened. There wasn't a hesitation. He jumped in there, and you know, some people say, well, he was laying on the ground and he was underneath the pile, and that's not what's the big deal. It just speaks to where his head is at. And I actually did our SportsCenter piece today on Schultz, so it'll be on the show here. People can catch it on the web, but it's just a piece specifically about Justin Schultz. And I really get the feeling, and it's early here, and not even about last night's game, because he did play well last night. But in talking to Justin Schultz, and I've had a couple conversations with him this year, I kind of get the feeling like Justin knows he's done it his own way for the last couple of years. He's kind of been on his own program a little bit, and I think he's ready to get onto the program. And the program is Todd McClellan's program. I think he sort of understands that this is a really big year for him. This is the second one-year deal in a row for him. And he needs to have a big year. And he knows that. He understands that. So I think Todd McClellan told us today that his fitness numbers were way up from last year. Like way up from last year. So that's step number one. Now he's wanting help. He's asking questions. He's looking to improve. That's step two, understanding you have to improve. And then we see last night a little bit more of a commitment. And it takes commitment to do that. And so those are all good signs. And right now it's talk. He's playing reasonably well. Like, he played good. But if some of this carries through, like, Justin Schultz is a hugely important piece to this team. Hugely important. If he doesn't pan out, they got to go find a top four defenseman, and they need to spend assets, whether it's money or picks or whatever, to go find that. Whereas if they can take this guy who has the raw ability and has the ability and shape him properly, they don't need to go find that. So he's critical to this whole thing.
Oh yeah, very critical. He's one of the pieces, and his change. I'm not going to give no offense to Todd McClellan, but I don't give Todd McClellan credit that suddenly in 5 days of camp he was the one who changed that. Schultz had to gain strength in the offseason and work out and everything else. He kind of had to take the onus on himself, and at some point I do think all players in the NHL have pride, and eventually you realize what I'm doing is not fun. Like, 3 years of losing for him is terrible. Ask Hall and Eberle how much it is for them. Like, Jordan Eberle talked about how winning the World Championship for him gave him such a new lease, because he goes, man, I've never been on a winning team other, even the World Juniors, right? Like, scored some huge goals and stuff, but that's so long ago, he felt, for him, like 6 years, that you're just like, man, maybe I don't know what it takes to win. And you learn what it takes to win and how that can inspire you.
I think the point that I make with Schultz is that I just think he's ready to get on side with everything. Sometimes it takes guys a few years to kind of, you're in the meetings, but are you in? And people give you advice and tell you things, but are you really listening and buying into it? And I think Schultz is at a point in his career where he's really ready to listen and do what he's asked and to take the next. I mean, even like Jordan Eberle said, he just seems more mature this year. He seems more mature. It's just off the ice, everything about him. He definitely put in the work in the off season. He joked, they call him Oklahoma City Schultz because he was so good in OKC, and they were bugging him the other day after the Calgary game about being Oklahoma City Schultz. Like, here comes Oklahoma City Schultz. So it's taking that confidence and finding a way to have it translate at the NHL level. So where McClellan comes in is, if you're Justin Schultz, you look at it, Todd McClellan, and you're going, okay, I got to buy into what this guy wants me to do. I need to trust this guy. I need to sort of put myself in his hands and say, okay, you show me how. Because Todd McClellan played a big role in Mark Edward Vlasic developing, had Dan Boyle for years and years, and people need to remember, he was also part of that staff that Nick Lidstrom was part of in Detroit for years. So he saw the way Nick went about his business and maybe even played a part in Nick Lidstrom's development as well. So if you're Justin Schultz, you're looking at this guy going, he knows how to develop me. He knows how to take a guy like me and make me better. And I get the sense Justin Schultz ready to do whatever it takes to take that step. Because here he sits and looks at Oscar Klefbom signing a 7-year contract extension, and he's on another 1-year deal. He wants that long-term deal.
Oh, yeah, I would bet you. He might want more money, but we'll see what happens on that front. Shager, have a good one. We will chat with you tomorrow. Now, as a fun guess, I'm saying Connor McDavid plays tomorrow rather than Saturday afternoon because it's in Winnipeg and it's an NHL rink. And Todd McClellan had mentioned earlier how he wanted McDavid to, you know, he's got to get used to playing games on the road. I know he's going to play the last regular the preseason game, I would assume, in Vancouver. But I'm guessing he plays in Winnipeg rather than Saskatoon. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way. I think they're going to play, and I'm just guessing here, I think they're going to play him in Saskatoon. That's a little bit of a different setup, that game. I mean, that's a promotional game where, I mean, I believe the organization is being paid to play in that game, right? It's a little bit of a, it's done by a promoter. So there might be some other forces at play besides just strict hockey logic.
Yeah.
So I would think there's a good chance he plays in Saskatoon. I don't know that he's not going to play tomorrow night. I'm not sure. I don't know about Winnipeg. But my gut is there's a good chance he plays in Saskatoon.
All right.
And then at least two of the three next week, including the one on the road that they close with. That'll be his really good road experience.
Okay.
We'll be that last game, full team in Vancouver.
Well, you bring up a good point because the Oilers are technically, they're the home team in that game. And I know when you sign those deals that you agree that you're going to dress a certain amount of veterans. Now, I don't know if Connor McDavid's name was a guaranteed on there, but there's certain ones they have to play.
Yeah, and that deal's probably been in place for a while to go do an exhibition game like that in Saskatoon, maybe even before. I mean, they've gone and done that in previous years, right?
But they weren't the home team sometimes.
Yeah, but the Oilers have gone in there before and not dressed a great lineup, and I think the impression they got coming out of it last time was that was a really good crowd and a really good environment, and we should bring a few more guys to the party next time. So it wouldn't surprise me, just given the type of game it is and the way it sets up as more of a promotion, that maybe they don't throw Connor out there, but I don't know for sure. So that's my guess. And then the experience you talk about, I completely agree with. Taylor Hall talked today about how he only played three home exhibition. He played in his rookie year, he played three exhibition games, and that was it. And how he kind of would have rather gotten some experience on the road in an exhibition game.
Totally agree.
So that's what they'll try and give McDavid. My guess is, though, because they play their last one in Vancouver, don't they? So that would be, and that'll be close to full NHL rosters.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if it wasn't. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, buddy.